Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, final little five-minute segment with Glenn Spencer, who for decades has been chronicling what's happening. Speaking with Glenn Spencer, we now have the move to break off part of southern Arizona and make it a pro-open border enclave of Mexico. And we have basically Mexican government minions in there in the Tucson government pushing this. The system is panicking. The mega corporations want open borders. Mexico wants to export its revolution into the U.S. as a steam valve instead of their people ever getting freedom over the incredibly corrupt oligarchy they've got. Glenn Spencer, what is the official policy of the Mexican government?
And here is the Mexican president. This is about 11 seconds. Speaking to the National Council of La Raza in 1997. This is Zedillo. Now listen to this.
I have proudly affirmed that the Mexican nation extends beyond the territory enclosed by its borders, and that Mexican migrants are an important, a very important part of it.
Okay, I have proudly affirmed that the Mexican nation extends beyond the territory enclosed by its borders, and that Mexican migrants are an important, a very important part of it. So they're extending their borders by migration, okay? It's called demographic warfare. It's to putting the Southwest under their jurisdiction. I said this 11 years ago. They are at it. They are, and because there was resistance in Arizona, they're fighting back. They're getting the support of the Mexican government. Their agents are working here full time.
And our own government, it's now come out, we've had sheriffs on record say what we already knew, that the Border Patrol has been ordered not to arrest illegals except for very short PR stunts for the media. And this, I mean, is this not treason?
It is treason. I have been at this so many years. Everything they do on the border is designed to fail. Everything. The National Guard they put down here, I have aerial photographs of every one of the National Guard outposts. They are a joke. I can go into detail with it. They are useless. The everything they do, the $1 billion that they spent on that virtual fence, the day it came out and they announced it, I predicted it would fail. I went online and I said, this is going to fail, and I said, why? Okay? That was 5 years ago. And it failed exactly for the reason that I said. Everything they do on the border is designed to fail. Our government wants that border left open.
And what's so sick is everybody would live in peace and we would get along if whites weren't told we're inherently evil and bad and deserve to be killed by the media, and that it's cute and fun to have all these mayors, including the former Austin mayor, saying that Hispanics are the God race. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't like the Klan. I don't like that either. But we don't have the Klan having public meetings and openly talking like this. And it's time for Hispanic Americans, white, black, doesn't matter what color you are, if you understand what's happening and where this road leads, to stand up and say no. Because the big mega banks that are so criminal, that are financing all of this on record, they're not pushing Aslan because they care about Hispanic people. They want to destroy the only escape route for people in Latin America to ever have a future of liberty. And I'll tell you, it's people's minds that I don't like. It's not the color of their skin. And you know, Glenn, you know it. These illegals, they vote to take guns and take property and vote for socialism. And let me tell you, this country's in a death struggle right now, aren't they?
They are a small army. They do exactly what they're told. I can give you case in point, year after year, that you have millions of people out there watching and listening to Spanish language media.
And it tells them what to do. Glenn, we got to have you back again soon. Thank you.
Food prices are spiraling out of control. In order to survive, you will soon need to produce some or all of your own food in your backyard or small farm. Many years ago, sought-after radio guest Marjorie Wildcraft and her family began working to find the easiest ways to grow food for the crisis we are now facing. Marjorie created a video that is the fastest way to learn how to grow food. You'll learn the most efficient gardening methods, myths and truths of orchards and edible landscaping, effective predator protection, and even home butchering. Everyone is talking about Marjorie's DVD, and it's highly recommended by Jim Rawls, Jack Spurko, and Bountiful Gardens. Read her free reports on how to have a green thumb, making free fertilizer, and answers the question, do you need a gun to garden? If you want the security, savings, and freedom of food self-reliance, buy Marjorie's DVD and get the free reports at backyardfoodproduction.com. Again, that's backyardfoodproduction.com.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the balance of the hour, I'm going to cover the waterfront with Vincent Bugliosi, the famous prosecutor who convicted Charlie Manson and the Manson family. And I want to talk a little bit about that with him, because I've had him on about other issues years ago, and I want to revisit his calls for George Bush to be brought up on charges. I want to get into his new book dealing with the existence or non-existence of God, because I agree with some things Mr. Bugliosi says and disagree with some of the others, but he's coming up in just a moment. Before we go any further, though, I wanted to direct all the InfoWars.com listeners, AM and FM listeners, PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, that we are not just putting all my films online at PrisonPlanet.tv or the expanded archive of these live shows in living color and the higher quality audio podcast, but we're doing special interviews in our new studio, one of our new studios. Kind of the Charlie Rose look studio. We also have a green screen studio and another studio developing my new TV show. But we also are uploading expanded extras from films. so much at PrisonPlanet.tv, and it is your membership at PrisonPlanet.tv that finances so much of what we do. It's 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. Check it out today, PrisonPlanet.tv. But there's a new Hour Plus video we just posted with Stuart Rhodes and others, and the headline is The States Strike Back. The States Strike Back, Rise of the Republic, Rhodes, Bolden and Smith, and they go over the fact that the states' rights movement is accelerating, trying to balance the power with the out-of-control federal government. Just key interview with Stuart Rhodes and others now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Don't forget the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com. And then there's all our other great sponsors, like NIA, National Inflation Association, during the financial crisis of late 2008, the only good or service in America that didn't at least temporarily decline in prices beside the cost of health care was a college tuition. We have a college tuition bubble here in America being fueled by government's willingness to provide student loans to anybody who applies for them regardless of their future ability to pay the loan back. Students are being brainwashed into getting $500,000 in debt for a college degree that's simply losing its value each year. Student loans are destroying the lives of millions of Americans who would have been better off getting jobs at Walmart. A brand new must-see documentary, College Conspiracy, is coming out very soon from our friends at NIA. If you would like to be among the first to see College Conspiracy, sign up for the free NIA newsletter immediately at inflation.us. That's www.inflation.us. Hard to forget that. And finally, and then we're going to Vincent Bugliosi, this special is only going to be running for a little while longer. A 10-day extreme emergency kit, a $300 value. After every $995 you invest in long-term, super high-quality, gourmet, storable food from eFoodsDirect.com. They are the name, the biggest outfit, highest quality, no MSG, no GMO, none of that. Earthquake, tsunami, tornado, how about depression? Social unrest, forced evacuation, extreme situation could require to leave your home in minutes. You will get with your clothes on your back and become dependent on FEMA if you do not have a plan. Well, they've got the Extreme Pack, and just check it all out. You get free with a regular order. The Extreme Emergency Kit, $300 value, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or visit them on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Now, shifting gears to our main interview today here in the third hour, Vincent Bugliosi has been called the quintessential prosecutor in his career at the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. He successfully prosecuted 105 out of 106 felony jury trials, including 21 murder convictions, without a single loss. His most famous trial, the Charles Manson case, became the basis of his classic Helter Skelter, the biggest-selling true crime book in publishing history. His other books include And the Sea Will Tell, Outrage Reclaiming History, and The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy and the Prosecution of George Bush for Murder. And he joins us to cover a host of issues today. Mr. Bugliosi, what would you like to begin with first, revisiting the Manson murders, your new book, George W. Bush, and your call to prosecute him for murder, and the fact that Obama's continuing many of those same crimes? What's your view of him now? Where do you want to start first?
Well, I thought it was going to be about the book, my new book, Divinity of Doubt. I normally do not go back unless there's some questions on all these other things, or else we end up after the hour with hardly touching on the main reason. I thought the main reason for the interview today, but by the way, Alex, before I go any further, I want to thank you so much for having me on your show in the first place. It's always an honor for me. You're the best in the business. But I was under the impression that the basic interview today, at least I was told that, was going to be on Divinity of Doubt.
Well, I'm sorry, Vincent. I mean, your publicist, as I was there when it was on speakerphone, asked what it was about, and we said, yeah, we're going to cover the book and a host of other issues.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. In fact,
there was only one thing, which I didn't even plan to bring up to you, that she didn't want to get into, which begs the question and makes me want to get into it. So that's proving there, prosecutor, that I did have that conversation with the publicist.
Oh, yeah. No.
You want to cross-examine me?
No. But what they sent me is that this was just an interview on my book. Let me just touch on two things, and then hopefully we can get into the book.
Well, let's get into the book first, then.
I want to get two things out of the way. The Reclaiming History, the Assassination of President John F. Kennedy, I just want your readers to know, or your audience to know, that this is going to be a 8-hour miniseries for HBO that Tom Hanks and his people are doing based on the book on the 50th anniversary, which is 2013, 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, about the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder. Many people have felt that it's all over with now. They don't hear from me. I can tell you it's very, very much still alive. I'll be getting next week a report from a constitutional law professor back east who, with 12 members of his class, have put together a legal brief anticipating all legal arguments that if there is a prosecution that Bush and his people could come up with to have the case thrown out of court. I'll be getting that report next week. I have to be very careful, Alex, about my words, but I can tell you this, I can tell your audience this, it's still very much alive and I am making progress. I can't say anything more than that, but it's still very much alive. Another interesting point, a documentary based on the book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, will be coming out for the big screen in about 6 months. But I'm convinced beyond all reasonable doubt that Bush took the nation to war under false pretenses in Iraq. 4,500 American soldiers are in their cold graves right now as I'm talking to you, Alex. And yet Bush, whenever you hear him, he says things like, I'm living life to the fullest, I'm happy. And I want to take that smile off his face. In addition to the 4,500 American soldiers, probably at least 100,000 innocent Iraqi men, women, children, and babies are in their graves right now. So I want your audience to know this is still very much alive.
And that's why I wanted to bring up some of those subjects, because you're involved in so many important, interesting things. And, you know, you cover the White House memo, the Downing Street memo. It's on record.
Oh, yeah.
That they premeditatedly lied to take us to war. They weren't wrong about WMDs. What's your view of Obama? Because I supported your move to prosecute W, but Obama has continued the rendition, continued the torture, continued the black sites, continued Guantanamo, continued expanding things with faulty intelligence. I mean, are you disappointed with Obama?
Well, he turns out to be a guy whose heart is probably in the right place, but he has no courage whatsoever. But let's distinguish between taking a nation deliberately to war on a lie, under false pretenses, with doing things that everyone knows about. I mean, Bush did not let the nation know that they were going to war on a lie. He did not let them know that. Everything that Obama's doing, as far as I know, it may be right or wrong, but there's no deception involved. I can say this about what happened recently with the killing of Osama. I'm disappointed in Obama as well as Bush for not going into Pakistan immediately after 9/11 or immediately after Osama escaped into Pakistan. By the way, what's his name? Osama was at Tora Bora. The CIA asked for 800 troops to go up the mountain into Tora Bora to get bin Laden. The Bush administration said no. So he had, but he had no hesitancy about sending 150,000 troops into Iraq to get Hussein, someone who had as much to do with 9/11 as you, I, or an aunt of mine who lives up in Minnesota. But yet he wouldn't send 800 troops up the mountain in Tora Bora to get Osama bin Laden, who's responsible for 3,000 American murders. And as you know, he escaped over the border into Pakistan. We didn't want to invade.
Well, sure, but I mean, expanding on that official narrative there, he needed that boogeyman to blame it on Iraq. He couldn't have bin Laden dead, at least admit that he was dead. And so that's why they didn't. I mean, my inside sources are bin Laden's been dead a long time. But Vincent, I know you're not going to agree with that.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if he was dead earlier or not. But anyway, Osama bin Laden, if he was just killed recently, he's been alive for close to 10 years. He's had three good meals a day, and they should have gone after him. If they were thinking, oh, Pakistan is a sovereign nation, we can't cross the border into Pakistan, yet they could cross the border into Iraq to go after a guy who had nothing to do with 9/11. You follow? So I'm happy that they got Osama, assuming that they got him. You're saying maybe they didn't.
Well, I mean, look, you're a prosecutor.
Pardon?
They've got the body. They don't give it to us. They have the face print, the photos. They won't give us that. They throw the body in the ocean. I mean, this whole thing really stinks to high heaven.
At at a minimum, it was an extremely unwise move for Obama to dispose of the body so quickly into the ocean like that. I mean, common sense, which Voltaire tells us is not common, would tell you you don't do that.
But if he is the ultimate terror mastermind and KSM is telling us under torture that there's buried nukes in Europe and the U.S. and AP's running with it, you better capture him, even if he's trying to kill you. But it turns out that was all lies. Didn't have a weapon, didn't shoot back. Now the Situation Room photo, turns out they weren't watching video. They lied about that. I mean, Vincent, we're getting a lot of lies here. When witnesses start telling us chains of lies, I mean, it's illegal to lie to federal prosecutors, but how can government lie so much?
Yeah, I know that. Well, it's intrinsic in human nature that people lie if they think they can get by with it, and it's to their benefit. Now, I'm not on top of all the stuff that you're talking about. You are. I got enough on my plate with the current book, and of course, hopefully I'll be able to prosecute Bush. It'll be a DA. It'll be, if it happens, it'll be a DA, not the federal government, not the state government, but a local DA.
Yeah.
And I'll be working, if it happens, around the clock, 7 days a week, probably
all right,
living in a motel for a couple years. So that's on my plate right now, and I hate to give opinions on things.
I understand, but Vincent,
really,
well, then fine.
Research, you know?
Let's say this, though. You are going up against Bush. If you start getting this prosecution going, and there's open talk about going after him for the torture, even in foreign government, but even in our own,
right.
I hope you don't end up like some of these other reporters that slipped their wrist. Do you want to say on record that you're not suicidal?
you're great, Alex. No, I am not suicidal. But I'll tell you this, there's reasons for not doing it, personal reasons, but I don't think I can look at myself in the mirror if I walked away from this. Not with all these people in their graves right now decomposing as I'm talking
to you. But you realize it is dangerous to go up against the Bush Mafia.
I'm aware of that, and I usually don't like to talk about this stuff publicly, but you're almost compelling me to do so. There are reasons for my not doing this. But the most important man in the world is the man in the mirror. If you're doing right by him, then you're treating other people well, too. And I don't see how I could walk away from this. I would just be saying to myself, you know, Vince, you're no different than anyone else. So I'm going to proceed on this thing if I'm given the opportunity. I want to be made very, very clear. I do not have a firm commitment at all, so I don't want any distortion in what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, I'm making progress. And I don't want this guy to get away with murder. I don't want to see anyone get away with murder.
Well, it took a long time to go after Pinochet, so these things...
Absolutely. There's no statute of limitations for murder. But Simpson got away with two murders. I got so angry that I wrote a book called Outrage, The 5 Reasons Why O.J. Simpson Got Away with Murder, shot up to #1 New York Times. If I could get that angry over two murders, you can imagine how I feel about George Bush. I have an animus against this guy.
Well, what about him writing a book last year bragging he ordered torture and would do it again, but
yeah,
their underlings that they flushed down the toilet as scapegoats, how can the Mafia Don give an order, admit he gives the order, but then his street-level muscle goes to jail? I mean, Bush is publicly admitting to ordering crimes and ordering the White House memos. I mean, I don't see how he isn't in prison for that.
Yeah, but we're getting into an area that I'm not I'm very, very familiar with this taking the nation to war on a lie. When you get into the torture thing, you also have to realize, and Obama and Holder have both said this, that the Department of Justice, the lawyers over there, gave Bush permission to do certain things. Now, apparently some CIA lowly operatives went beyond that, you follow? But we're getting into an issue that I'm not up on.
All right, let's shift gears back then. I got a few loose ends, then we'll get into your new book.
Okay.
You know, a few loose ends. I've had prosecutors on the
yeah,
county attorney in the county that San Francisco is based in.
District
attorney, that if he sees, if his police see them touching on the outside of the pants, it's a misdemeanor. On the inside of the pants, felonies. I have witnessed them sticking their hands down people's pants, not just all the videos of six-year-old girls. 20-plus states are moving to make it felonies. But if it's already a felony for a cop to do it without emergency probable cause, or for you to do it, or for the Easter Bunny to do it, how do we even need laws? What's your view on the whole TSA sticking the hands down the pants?
Are you literally talking about someone sexually molesting someone, or are you using this as a metaphor? I don't quite
know. No, the TSA, sir, now sticks their hands down.
TSA means what?
The airport security.
Oh, okay. They're doing what now?
They're sticking their hands down people's pants.
Is that right? I just traveled to New York for the
No, they only randomly do it with small children and women. That's why they get the job.
Yeah.
They like
I don't
it.
Know what their intent is. If you can show that their intent, I don't know how you do this, showing that it's sexual obviously should be a felony. But I didn't even know about this.
But how can everyone be guilty until proven innocent? I mean, a police officer can't stick their hand on your pants unless they saw you stick the gun in there and there's imminent danger, according to DAs and people we've had on. We both had county and city.
Well, it's just too hard for me to comment on that. The Today Show just called me about 4 or 5 days ago. Apparently, they have on film the Phoenix, either the police department or the sheriff's office, brutalizing some woman on film in Phoenix, and they wanted me on the show, and I don't go on just if I don't feel I'm qualified to do it. I said, listen, I don't know what's going on here. I'd have to study it in depth. So I referred them to internal affairs of some major cities, so I did not go on. I hate to be on the record saying things,
right,
and someone comes back and says, well, but Yossi, you don't know what you're talking about. Did you know that this was existed? I said, no, I didn't know about that.
No, I got it. You didn't see the 6-year old? You didn't see the 6-year old with the TSA sticking their hands down her pants?
No, listen, I don't watch TV.
I understand you're a busy guy.
It's not just that. Yeah, I am busy. I don't even have a computer. I'm still in the 19th century with a yellow pad and pencil. So a lot of these things are going over my head. And I really have to focus in on something before I start.
All right, let's talk about something. Let's talk about something you focused in on, and then we'll do the remainder of the half hour just on the new book and break that down for folks. Vincent Bugliosi, probably one of the most famous prosecutors in world history, here joining us, not just in the modern era. Looking at this, something you do know about. You've written this giant treatise, this encyclopedia. That has been hailed by much of the establishment media as definitive proof that lone gunmen killed JFK and Dealey Plaza,
right,
40-plus years ago. What do you say to things like E. Howard Hunt and saying he was there running an operation? What do you say to the people that saw people behind the knoll and then all mysteriously died? I mean,
well, how can I get into that without taking a half hour here, Alex? I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but to take one, there was no one behind the knoll there. No one saw anyone there. You follow? No one saw that. They did.
Not to live.
Wait a while. They did run behind the knoll, thinking there may be someone there. All the stuff about seeing people in the knoll, that all came about later, Alex. I worked on this thing for 20 years. But to raise an issue like this, I'm supposed to give you a 10-second answer to it? The E. Howard Hunt thing, while he was alive, he was on his deathbed, and his sons were trying to get this out of him, okay? And they never got out of him any statement by him. This was after my book came out, that, yeah, the CIA was involved. He never said that, but they were trying to get these words out of him. Their sister, the mother, they're very condemnatory of these two sons that started all this.
Yeah, that's
nonsense.
The Cuban side of the family down in
something.
Miami.
I can't get into this. I wrote... 1.5 million words,
uh-huh.
13 volumes, the equivalent of 13 volumes of 400-page books, over 10,000 citations.
Well, you're a smart guy, but a lobotomized chimpanzee can write 1 million words.
Well, yeah, but this is my magnum opus. People have said beyond a definitive book, it's the final word on the Kennedy assassination.
Uh-huh.
But to throw a couple things at me and expect me to talk to you off the top of my head in 10 seconds or 15 seconds.
Well, E. Howard Hunt said the mega rat was going to go on down in Miami, but then I was a bench warmer on the Dallas thing. And then he went through it as far as his chain of command up to LBJ. What do you make of Madeleine Duncan Brown? I interviewed her.
Madeleine Brown is an embarrassment. She came up with that story 20 years later. She had no evidence at all 20 years
There's
later.
There's one problem. I had family that was in Austin at the time.
She came up with that story 20 years later. She's an embarrassment. Not even the conspiracy community believes it. Only the fringes of the conspiracy community believe Madeleine Brown.
Yeah.
And to believe that LBJ, one of the most wily politicians we ever have, would tell her the night before the assassination that
That SOB will never embarrass me again.
You can't believe that. In fact, he wasn't even in Dallas that night. They were still in Houston. It's all bogus. But I didn't know that I was going to be answering. Listen, there's a million questions asked about the Kennedy assassination. And I went into depth on every single one of them, Alex. Now you're pulling a couple off.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do governments ever assassinate people?
Yeah, of course. The CIA was ordered to assassinate Cuba. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, but what about the
Castro? They were ordered.
Yeah. But what about Gulf of Tonkin? I mean, they LBJ lied about that.
No, didn't lie about it. Read my book. Read the end notes in my book on the Bush thing. Did not lie about that. That's all nonsense. But now you want me to summarize 12 pages in my book?
But they declassified that they lied.
There was nothing.
I've got
that.
The audio tape. They released it.
The audio tape exonerates LBJ.
No, they're sitting there going, "This is what you're going to say at the press conference." We'll be right back and talk about your new book. Stay there.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
America, you've been warned. For weeks, we've been warning you about a single event we believe will happen in the next 12 months that will shake the very foundations of our nation. We've told you about the video that details this shocking prediction. So far, over 6 million people have watched this free video online. Have you? Again, this big event has nothing to do with war or the stock market, yet it could change everything about your normal way of life. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. Could this really happen? Well, the man who created this video has been right about many predictions in his career. He was among the first to predict the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. If you haven't taken time to watch this free video, do it right now. You may never think about America the same way again. You can find the free video at endofamerica3.com. Again, that's www.endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. Your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Vincent Bugliosi, the world-famous prosecutor of the Manson cult, is our guest. Maybe at the end of the interview, I'll ask him a question or two about the Mansons, or getting back on about that in the future, because I wanted to have him on a host of issues. We got contacted by the publicist, and I'm like, wow, he's great to have on. Let's have him on. But the new book is Divinity of Doubt, The God Question, and you go to Vincent Bugliosi, you go to the mountain, he will tell you who really killed Kennedy. He will tell you if the war's illegal. He will tell you if God exists. Actually, the book, I haven't read it yet, but it's been critically acclaimed. And I'm going to stop trying to be sarcastic here with him because I like him. He's a sharp guy. I agree with him on some things, disagree with him on others. But the divinity of God, and that's the new book, Divinity of Doubt, The God Question. And why did you decide to write this book?
Well, Alex, as you know, I like challenges, big challenges, and there's probably no bigger challenge than taking on the God question. And let me say that I'm more excited about this book than any other book in my entire career, and that's not just because there's no bigger subject than God. But we're talking here, Alex, about a 2,000-year-old conversation in which everyone agrees nothing significant has been brought to the table in a great number of years. And believe it or not, this book does that. Can I have a couple moments, Alex, just to go over some of the highlights of the book?
I'm about to learn the mysteries of the universe from the great Bugliosi.
I told you off the air, in addition to being great, you're the best. You're also a funny guy. You're very funny. You're getting me to laugh. I usually don't laugh that much. You hear people say all the time, Alex, that God gave all of us free will. And if you challenge them on it, they'll say it's in the Bible. But I found out that, contrary to popular belief, the Bible does not say there is free will. Instead, it says the precise opposite, that there is no free will. Now, I don't have to tell you the enormous ramifications of this. How do you explain God's punishment of evildoers if it turns out that what they did was preordained by God? Now, mind you, Alex, I'm not saying there's no free will. How would I know? If someone asked me, I'd say, well, ask my neighbor or ask the local grocer. However, when they say... When Christianity says that the Bible says that there's free will, at that point I can step in and say, wait a while, folks, the Bible does not say that. Let me give you just a couple quick citations. Isaiah 63:17 says, Lord, why do you cause us some free will, Alex? Why do you cause us to stray from thy ways? Romans 11:32, God consigns all men to disobedience. The Talmudic scholars have been struggling for centuries over how can they get around Exodus 4:21, where God tells Moses, I will harden the heart of the Pharaoh, causing him to be stubborn and not release the people, referring to the Israelites in Egypt, apparently justifying his infliction of the ten plagues. It turns out, Alex, that the immortality of the soul was a pure invention of Plato. I traced it all the way back to Plato, which Christianity was almost forced to embrace. Why? Because without the immortality of the soul, there's no life after death. Without life after death, there's no heaven and hell. And I would ask you the rhetorical question, Alex, how does Christianity survive? How does it stay alive if there's no heaven and hell? I mean, this is what they offer or threaten their followers with.
Perhaps, well, let me ask you this question, Vincent.
Yes.
I mean, I've studied Egyptology. They believed that the soul could be immortal, but it needed a place to dwell in, kind of like a ghost. And there were many other cultures that predate Plato 2,300 years ago or whatever. You're saying, sure, a lot of the Bible was out of Aramaic into Greek and then back and forth, but... I don't know. I mean, I haven't done current research on this to pull it up fresh, but I don't know if that's true, that Plato invented the immortal soul.
Well, it probably had been mentioned somewhere else, but he's the one in the dialogue Phaedrus, Phaedrus, that articulated the entire doctrine, and from there Judaism bought into it, and then Christianity. In Phaedrus, what Plato does, he presupposes the existence of God. He presupposes the existence of the soul. He presupposes that the soul is immortal because he presupposes that it was never born. And like I say in the book, if we presuppose I had wings, maybe I could fly. But I want to go beyond this because there are several other things. Here's probably the most startling thing in the entire book. And believe me, I wouldn't have written the book if I didn't have some startling things to say. But this is probably the most startling thing. I found evidence, Alex, in the New Testament, which, when read in conjunction with the Hebrew Bible, proves, not just beyond a reasonable doubt, but beyond all doubt, according to the Bible now, that Jesus was not born of a virgin, which by definition means he's not the Son of God. If he's not the Son of God, then the Christian doctrine that God had his Son die on the cross for our sins goes out the window, too, ravaging much of Christianity. I know this is very, very hard for your audience to believe. The only problem is that it happens to be the truth, and this is one reason why many people reading The Divinity of Doubt say that no one who reads this book will ever again feel the same way about God and religion. I want to touch very briefly on atheism. I view atheism as an intellectually barren philosophy whose current champions, I'm talking about people like Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, these guys simply cannot find a non sequitur that they don't like. It's just one silly non sequitur after another.
Me, atheists are basically saying we know everything, and it's almost a religion that there's nothing. I mean, how do they know out of hundreds of billions of galaxies that there aren't entities and civilizations that are beyond anything we could even imagine God having? I mean, to state that, it's basically saying they know everything.
Oh, I know that. I don't know. No one knows whether or not God exists or not, but if he doesn't, I do not believe that atheistic dogma leads one rationally.
Well, here's what I'm saying, Vincent. A lot of people have had prescient events, psychic events, knowing that grandma just died, calling even though she wasn't sick. Yeah, grandma just died. How'd you know that? I mean, I've had things like that happen. Like, I'm not even going to get into it. It's ridiculous. I was fishing. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and tell the story.
Yeah.
6 a.m., driving out with a guide. I've been out there many times, Port Aransas, never run over a dolphin. Never heard anybody running over a dolphin. The dolphins are super smart, and I have this super strong feeling we're going to run over a dolphin. 3 minutes later, we run over a dolphin.
Yeah,
now, come on. There's stuff going on we don't know about.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But that doesn't mean that there's a God who created the universe because of that. But there are paranormal things going on. I don't reject it. Listen, I'm an agnostic. Now, let me explain it to you now, because I think your audience should know this. Theists, of course, believe in God, right? Atheists do not believe in God. An agnostic says, I don't know. Perhaps a better definition of agnostic is someone who believes that the existence vis-a-vis non-existence of God is unknowable. Of course, if it's unknowable, you can't know. Now, I like to point out that there's a rather bright guy on my side. At least people tend to think he's bright. His name is Einstein. Einstein was an agnostic. Interestingly enough, Darwin turns out to be an agnostic. I say interestingly enough, Alex, because most evolutionists are atheists, and yet the founder of evolution, Darwin, turns out to be an agnostic. My view on the existence of God, it's an impenetrable mystery. It's beyond human comprehension. As Einstein said, the problem is too vast for our limited minds. And I think the most responsible position to take on this issue, on the eternal question.
He also said God would not play dice. He said God would not play dice with reality.
Yes, okay. Very sharp. Very sharp. I'm against a tough cross-examiner. He said many things throughout his life. No one's been quoted more on God than Einstein. Many things during his life that gave fodder to theists, atheists, and agnostics. See, he's one of our own, and that's one of them right there. God does not play dice with the universe. The inference being, okay, he believes in God. But the only time I ever found where he used one of these appellations was in a letter, I think it was October 25th, 1950, 5 years before he died, to an M. Berkowitz at the Princeton Archives, where he said, on the matter of God, I am an agnostic. That's the only time that I ever heard him use one of these words. But that's very good. You interjected something there, very important. I love the non-literary articulation of agnosticism by Gertrude Stein, you know who she is. She said, there ain't no answer, there ain't going to be any answer, there never has been an answer, that's the answer. The great criminal lawyer of years ago, Clarence Darrow, said, I don't purport to know what ignorant men are sure of. Now, there's many other things we can talk about today. I don't believe the Christian God can possibly exist. He's a contradiction in terms. You can't be all good and all powerful at the same time.
No, Christ said that this is parables. The profane aren't going to understand this. And I read the Bible, it makes perfect sense. Those contradictions are subtleties in the context of the area they're being discussed, and then it all later integrates together.
I discuss the lilies of the field.
I mean, come on.
I discuss all of that. But Christianity and Judaism believe that God is all-powerful and all-good. He can be one or the other. He can't be both. For example, if you're all-powerful, that means you can prevent evil. If you can prevent evil, you don't allow the Holocaust.
But God refuses to create robots. It's free will.
Well, I just told you. Wait a minute.
Well, the globalists say I don't have free will because then they want to tell me what to do because they've got their will. They want me rudderless. Look, I got free will. I know I do.
Okay. I don't know if there's free will or not. Let's assume, even though I told you that the Bible says there's no free will, let's assume that there is free will. And you hear what Christians say. You're all given free will. God's not responsible for how you exercise. You've heard that many, many times. Okay.
Well, there are the Calvinists who say that we don't have free will.
That's exactly right.
And what a horrible idea! I'm a slave, and then God chose some to be evil, some to be good. This is all a test.
Well, Martin Luther, the founder of Protestantism, here's what he says. He says, "Quote: God foreknows and wills all things. He foresees, intends, and does all things according to his own eternal and infallible will." He says, quote, "this knocks free will flat." I'm not saying Luther is right, but he's the guy that founded Protestantism. He says, "this knocks free will flat and utterly shatters it." He says that man's will is free only to the extent of doing, quote, "the will of God, that man can do no good except through God's
will." Look, I already know what my gut is experiencing creation.
But I want to get
we do
to
have free will, but also there's providence. God does move through individuals if they're willing. That's the free will to turn yourself over as a vessel. And then there's those that have given themselves over to evil, then God will also use them. It's more complex than that.
Okay, I know that. But I get into the complexity and the divinity of doubt. But I want to ask you a question. I got a tough question for you because you've asked me some very good questions. The Christians say God gives you all free will, and therefore he's not responsible for it. Okay, I don't buy into that. Number one, he's also omniscient, so he knew what the monsters of history were going to do before they did it. Number two, he's supposed to be all-powerful. He knew they were going to do it. He didn't step in, okay? He did not prevent all
these things. Because the soul's immortal. It's a test.
I haven't asked you my question yet.
All right.
So that's their argument, that he's not responsible. Let's take a hypothetical, Alex. You have parents, and they have a son, they call him Eddie, 17 years old, and he's robbing, raping, and murdering everyone in his area of town. The police don't know about it, but the parents do, and they have the power to stop him. But they say, you know, Eddie's got free will, and I'm not responsible for how he exercises, so I'm not going to try to stop him. What would you think of those parents?
They would be Satanist.
Okay, why, if God does the same identical thing, why do you have a supposedly good view of him that he gives us free will? He's not responsible. How do you reconcile?
Because by the very nature of creation, it is the individual decision to do good or evil that is set in motion. And so, of course, God knows the final outcome. But it is something that has to be played out because that's the nature of the space-time continuum dimensional overlay is that it must be free.
Well, if you were on the witness stand after a half hour, I think you'd have to back down from this because there's nothing solid in what you said. Someone did say, well, God is supernatural.
Oh, wait, you just said that's like declaring the moon declaratively is made of cheese. I mean, that might fool somebody who's got a low IQ on one of the jurors, but come on, I said something pretty heavy there.
Okay, but factually, it doesn't make any difference whether it's God or the
parents.
But
here's the difference, Mr. Bugliosi. I've had experiences I won't even share on air.
Okay,
let me tell you, this stuff is not vapors or hallucinations. The experiences I've had in my life that are mine and they're personal, let me tell you, there's a lot going on in heaven and earth that aren't in all your books.
Well, I agree on that. I agree, and I don't reject it. I'm an agnostic. I don't reject what you're saying. There's a lot of paranormal things going on. That doesn't necessarily mean, however, that there's a God who created the universe.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily mean that. But there are strange things going on. A twin is brutalized by some thugs, and his twin across the country feels the pain at the same time.
Oh, it's all real. It's all real.
Yeah, no,
we only see a tiny fraction of reality.
But that doesn't translate necessarily to a God who created the universe.
Well, okay, let me ask you this question. I always had a dream, a recurring dream until I was about 12. I had it almost every week, where I would go to the very edge of the universe. I had it from the time I was a baby, first memories, till I was 12 or 13, and I stopped having it. Very intense. I was studying it, scientifically you'd say it was a low oxygen dream, something like that could manifest this, but it would be the great question of what happens at the end of the universe, what created matter to begin with, okay, Big Bang, what was before that, and then you have to ask what is this dimensional creation, and then at the end of the dream I was just gasping for air in the incredible presence of something so indescribable that it simply envisioned creation. I mean, come on. Vincent, what made all this then? I mean, where does it end? Where did it come from?
Can't you feel it?
Don't you feel it?
That's why I said I'm an agnostic. That's why Einstein and Darwin were agnostics. Talking about going all the way back, I want to give you a good argument that theism, those that believe in God, have come up with. And you probably, well, I'm sure you know about it. It goes back to the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica, First Cause. First cause means that everything in existence, whether it's the peach on a tree, a car, a shoe, was caused by something else, and that in turn was caused by something else. I'm going to get into the Big Bang in a moment here now. But this regression in the chain of causation, it's believed, cannot go back into infinity. It has to go back to something which was not caused by anything else, which was independent. Aquinas called it the first cause, the uncaused cause, if you will. And that uncaused cause, that first cause, theists believe is God. Now, how do the atheists and the scientists get around that? Well, they come up with the Big Bang Theory, which holds that at some point in time, about 13.7 billion years ago, the universe exploded into existence in a zillionth of a second from some subatomic particle. Now, apart from the fact that on its face it doesn't seem to make sense that the universe could explode into existence from something much, much smaller than the point of a needle, let's give the physicists their due. We don't understand these things. But there's also, I think, a very enormous defect with that reasoning. No matter how small that subatomic particle was, no matter how small it was something. And let me repeat, it was something. And the question is, and I went over to Caltech, read the books on it, the authors don't address themselves to the question, which is an automatic question, who put that something there? They don't ask that question, you follow?
And so, what made that something?
That's right, I agree. But are we going back to a first cause, as Aquinas says, and that first cause is God? I don't know. I'm not saying that first cause is dispositive of the issue, but it's a very difficult logical argument to get around.
Well, look, the point is we don't know what's going on. I can feel the presence of the energy source that creates all life in the universe, and I just feel so sorry for these atheists because they've like put the blinders on. You've got to be open to it to experience it. We'll be right back.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Alex Jones here with key information. The U.S. government is a Ponzi scheme that relies on the Treasury continuously selling large amounts of government bonds to foreign central banks. With Japan about to become a seller of U.S. bonds in order to rebuild its own nation, and the U.S. antagonizing China by calling them currency manipulators, the Federal Reserve, which is already buying about 70% of U.S. treasuries, will soon be the only buyer left of U.S. treasuries. Our friends at the National Inflation Association believe that the U.S. dollar will soon become worthless, and Americans will see the purchasing power of their incomes and savings destroyed. I strongly urge my fellow Americans to sign up for the free NIA newsletter at www.inflation.us. If you are sick and tired of the economic propaganda and the mainstream media, sign up for free at inflation.us to learn the economic truth that the mainstream media ignores.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard standard mason jars are indefinitely reusable and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Well, I want to be clear. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I am a Christian. And people can analyze it all day and, you know, say that a Christian God's impossible and find contradictions. You know, it's all an intellectual, but at the same time, personal and spiritual experience. And it's also, you know, one person reads poetry and sees ugly poetry. Someone else sees something beautiful. But that's why I wanted to get Vincent Bugliosi on today, because I think that by talking to him in this big book he's got out right now, that it gets people to, you know, really think about the nature of the world. I just wonder why world leaders are trying to build a 10-union nation global government and trying to bring in this cashless society to track us. I guess you would say, Vincent, that all this Big Brother stuff, that's just basically people taking the Bible and using it as a blueprint or revelations?
No. I don't know why they're doing that. I'd have to study it.
Okay, so what's your view on the Big Bang then? Where did it all come from? Keyboard elves?
What I just told you right now is that the Big Bang may not be valid. It may be God who created the universe. I gave you an argument for God. The atheists have yet to come up, in my opinion, with one persuasive argument for God. All they come up with is nonsense, non sequiturs. I'll give you a couple of their non sequiturs. If God existed, they say, why do we have all the horror and evil in the world? But that presupposes that God has to be all good, which is an obvious non sequitur. He obviously can be all powerful without also being all good. I'll give you another one, another non sequitur. Atheists do not believe that God created man. You know, they believe that man evolved from some original life form. You know, a bacteria somehow evolved into Mozart. But that presupposes that God did not create this original life form and evolution took over from there. Their biggest non sequitur out now, Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris, they're the big proponents of this. They feel that if they can slay the dragon of organized religion, an unworthy opponent, they have therefore slain God. But this presupposes, Alex, that you cannot have God without religion, which is too ridiculous to even comment upon. A 2010 Pew National poll showed that over 30% of Americans who do not belong to any organized religion still believe very strongly in God. The antithesis of God is no God, not no religion. But these atheists come up with one non sequitur after another. They're almost vapid. Theism's got that powerful, powerful argument of first cause. It's very difficult to get around. Are you there?
No, I'm just listening to what you're saying.
Oh, okay. I do want to say this for your audience. And I'm not bragging, okay? It just happens to be a fact. I've written the definitive book on the three biggest murder cases of the last half century, the Manson case, the Simpson case, and the Kennedy assassination. Now, how am I able to do this? Because my only master, Alex, I have no other master, is the evidence. I look for the evidence, then I evaluate it, and I draw inferences from it. Just last month, at the invitation of the Pentagon, I gave a three-hour lecture to Marine prosecutors down at Camp Pendleton. Everything I say in this book, Divinity of Doubt, I support. You may not agree with the support, but I give a lot of support for everything that I say, and I want your audience to know that about me.
No, I believe that you believe what you're saying, and only someone being honest could come to the fact that you don't know either way, and I respect that. You know, the atheists I find to be their own cult. And at the same time, I don't know if evolution's real or whatever. I just know I believe in God. That's a fake debate in the last 150 years that Christians were drawn into, where they then get into debates with scientists as a plan to discredit them. Who am I to say how God designed things or, you know, what went on? All these things saying the Earth's 6,000 years old. And they are carbon dating, you know, million-year-old human bones. I just see it playing into a trap, and I see the system attacking Christianity because it's not compatible with this corrupt, stinking, humanistic world government eugenic system. It's actually anti-human. We're back in 1 minute with Vincent Bugliosi. and I thought we'd have him on for some debate, so we're not just here, agreeing with each other. I think it's very thought-provoking. Back in 1 minute, I'm Alex Jones. We've got a new video going up. I'll tell you about two when we come back. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.